scams are divers. Yes, that's true. They do. They dive. Yeah, they put on these frog suit things, you know, and they go down into the ocean. Man, they're not diving in the swimming pool like Dustin Hoffman in The Graduate. No, they go down into the ocean where there are sharks and stingrays. Someone once said to me about that. They said, isn't it dangerous, you know, with the sharks in there? And Waylon told me that the sharks don't like the bubbles. So I told this person who asked me about the danger of sharks, I said, well, don't worry, the sharks don't like the bubbles. And this person said, well, what do you do about it? Don't you get that? Well, they took it the whole different way. The sharks don't like the bubbles, so they get mad. Look at those bubbles. And they start chomping on the people. But it's not that way. It's not like they don't like the bubbles and then they get mad and they eat you. They're scared of the bubbles. They're not scared of anything except bubbles. I don't know. It's their Achilles heel. And they run away. They generally don't do that. I did think of taking up diving when I was younger. I'm still young, but I could still do it. There's no age limit, but I feel like I swam this morning. I ran 10 miles this morning. I went out at 8 a.m. The humidity down here was already 70%. So by the time I'm halfway through, I'm already deep sea diving. I'm seeing things swimming, you know. So I don't have to head into the ocean. Okay, here we are on a Wednesday, and destruction has been decreed for your favorite religion. The pop religion of Christianity has a demon, not a demon, but a messenger in charge of it, in charge of its destruction that is being prepared even now for its destruction. I'm going to touch on a bit of controversy today. I'm still going to tell you where I was. I know this has been an ongoing tease when I realized something about these horsemen. We're going to go into details on the horsemen. The supernatural cavalry, the so supposedly obsolete method of warfare that God, in all his stupidity, and I'm not disparaging him, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he himself says that his stupidity is wiser than the wisdom of men. So he uses his stupidity to confound us. And we think we're so smart with our smart bombs. Well, he's got a smart horse, smarter than any horses you've ever seen, coming against the world's religions. Listen to this quote on page 290 of The Unveiling of Jesus Christ by A.E. Nuck. Before this time, the members of the body of Christ will have been received up into glory, but that event will by no means be the end of Christendom. Do you realize what he just said there? Let me read it again. Before this time, that is the time of the judgment of the world's religions by the four messengers bound at the river Euphrates, the members of the body of Christ will have been received up in glory. This is what I've been telling you. We are not appointed to indignation, not appointed to wrath. We have a prior expectation in Christ. But that event will by no means be the end of Christendom. Now, A.E. Nock has in the past contradicted himself on this, because in some of his writings he seems to say that anyone who professes Christ or has a metal fish applique on their car, or who says we love Jesus, or who says we believe that Jesus saved us, it would be a Christian. But we know, you and I know, that it takes much more than a profession. There are many feigned believers. In fact, the majority think they're believers, but they're not, because they hate Paul's message. They believe everything but Paul's message. How do they believe Paul's message? We've been through this. They don't believe that Jesus Christ died. They don't believe he died for sin. And I stick to this, because they believe in free will. You save yourself. There's a big difference between saving yourself and having Jesus save you. And so A.E. Nock, without trying here, without consciously teaching on it, is saying that the event of the snatching away of the body of Christ will not be the end of Christendom. Because where is this religion coming from if the snatching away takes away all professing Christians? And that's what we're told. That's what Christianity has told us. Every professing Christian is part of the rapture. The rapture. And they want to be raptured away. And I'm not making fun of the rapture. I'm making fun of people who think they're going to be raptured, but they're not, because they're not seekers of truth. They're a member of a pop cult that's called Christianity. And so how can it be that when the body of Christ is snatched away before the tribulation, that there's still this destruction coming? Because these events aren't going to happen until we're gone, you see. But there's still religion intact on the earth. And they're not going to know anything about our departure. You who are listening to me, you're part of this. You're in on the secret of the resurrection Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 15. Yes, that's an early letter of Paul's. And he's talking about a secret there that was unrevealed before. The secret of the resurrection is our bodies have to be changed radically, more radically than the bodies of Israelites, to suit us for a celestial sphere. Not so Israelites. They can just be changed mildly. Mildly. Because they're still going to be plodding around on the earth. Well, they might be floating, but they're still going to be on the earth. We are going to be among the celestials, a realm that we can't even dream of being, a realm that our bodies as presently constituted could not sustain us in, or in which could not sustain us. One of those two. So what a confession here. The event will not end Christendom. Christendom will not even know we're gone. I've said this many times. My friend Charlie Kronk, who is now dead, unfortunately, pointed out to me 5,000 people every day come up missing in the U.S. Have you heard of them? No. And I'm sometimes challenged on the fact that I talk about numbers. Like, Sender knows how many people are in the body of Christ. No, I don't. I've supposed things, right? I can say that I suppose 5,000 would be a large number. I can't imagine there are 5,000 people alive today in the body of Christ. I never said there were 9 or 10 or 11. I never said there were anything. I just say that there's not many, and if there were 5,000, I'd be surprised. Knock continues. But think about this. Think about this. It's like the Pharisees in Jesus' day, they're primed, because they're the chiefs of Israel, to spot the Messiah. And here he comes, walks right in front of them, and they kill him. And the Jews are still looking for the Messiah. Oopsie! And in this day, we have Christianity, who is also looking for a Messiah, and they're going to accept the false Messiah. They are going to accept someone who will look, and I'm serious when I say this. I believe the false Messiah will look like the pop icon Jesus. Because Christians love that long, flowing-haired, brown-bearded, movie-ready, romance cover hunk of man called Jesus. And he is going to, the false Messiah will stomp Islam, not out of existence, mind you, not out of existence. Now look, I'm talking about a one-world religion here, but there are still four religions. They're intact, these four religions, because they're going to be destroyed, but they're under the head of the one religion. So the false Messiah is going to come back and Christians are going to go for him. Isn't that ironic or strange or funny? In a weird way, that the Jews had the Messiah come in front of them and they rejected him. And Christians today, who are really the counterparts of first century Pharisees, they're going to have a false Messiah come, which is the opposite of what the Pharisees had, and they're going to accept the false Messiah. Rather than reject the true one, they're going to accept the false one. Either way, you're a loser. Either way, you're a loser. Whether you reject the true or accept the false. So it's going to be one slick deception. And they're looking for this. They're looking for the Messiah, and they're also waiting to be snatched away, just like the Jews are waiting for their Messiah. Here's what I tell you. I tell you today that Christians are going to be waiting for the rapture 10 years after the rapture has happened. How do you like that? Christians are going to be still looking for it, just as the Jews. There are many parallels here, ladies and gentlemen. Just as the Jews are still looking for the Messiah, Christians are going to still be looking for that storybook thing that the fish applique on their car buys them, that their membership in the fan club buys them, which is the rapture, they're still going to be looking for it 10 years after it has happened. Don't think that's incredible. Listen to A.E. Nock. That event, that is the snatching away, will by no means be the end of Christendom. No. Put Christianity there. The snatching away doesn't touch Christianity, because we are not of Christianity. We are not Christians, we're believers in Jesus Christ. I go on to quote here, perhaps its devotees of that day will feel relieved that so many of the uninfluential but troublesome adherents of the church have disappeared. Adherents of the church, all right, what are they doing in the church in the first place? And nobody's going to be relieved that so many uninfluential people. For instance, well, for one thing, we are uninfluential, that part is true, but there's not so many of us, we're out anyway. So I don't want to hear of any situation where there are members of the body of Christ who are in churches and that will precipitate the members of that church wondering, oh, where did Harry go? But you know, we're glad he's gone because he was a pain in the nuts because he kept asking difficult questions at the Wednesday night meeting. It's not going to happen because you're not there. But I do like this. I do like it when A. Knox says, perhaps its devotees of that day will feel relieved that so many of the uninfluential but troublesome adherents of the church have disappeared, for they were a constant hindrance to progress. A constant hindrance to progress. Just like Jesus Christ was a constant hindrance to progress, wasn't he? The progress was that the people wanted to make him king, and he was a constant hindrance to their soulish and fleshly ideals. Instead, he had spiritual ideals, and his timing is not our timing, that's for sure. Here's a critical sentence. Christianity has its messenger. There is a messenger. What's the name of this show? Destruction Decreed for Christianity, which will remain after the snatching away. There is a messenger prepared, waiting to unleash his horrid hosts. Love the alliteration there, in spite of the context. So each messenger of the abyss who are released by the sixth messenger are in charge of a portion of this 200 million strong cavalry. And each messenger, as I'm reading this, will commandeer a portion of the troops and will direct that portion of the troops, which has been specially prepared, to destroy that particular religion. This means that Christianity, the beloved religion, has a messenger appointed to it for its destruction. Aren't you glad that you don't have to go through this? Aren't you glad that you are out, and I pray you are, of the pop culture cult called Christianity that will not survive to the ends of this eon?